This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We've been talking about renew, getting rid of the thoughts that are getting you. I want to go in tonight to something about really kind of, not technical, but really kind of go into some of the fact that all of us have thoughts and beliefs and attitudes that have been wrong, and our idea is how do we get rid of those? And I think the more you walk with the Lord, the more you walk in the light, we're constantly seeing things and seeing the way we used to live or maybe way we used to think. We go, oh, that was wrong. And we don't have to be condemned about it, but we need to change it. So if you'll stay with me tonight, I want to talk about especially some of those things that have gotten deeply entrenched in our lives and how we can dig a new trench, a better one. So let's just open our hearts and ask the Lord. I mean, I'm going to pray. But am I praying? You in your heart, say, Lord, help me tonight. Help me to see something. I think every, you know, it's interesting, but every time I teach, I actually see something. So it's not like I promise you, I don't know everything. And so we're all in a learning process. And so let's ask the Lord to help us learn and to show us things. And you know, you can get a revelation from Him that changes a lot of stuff. One revelation from Him got me back to Texas. Thank you for that one. But revelations can change our life and change our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so appreciative of You tonight. We're so thankful for Your goodness, that You care about us. You love every one of us. You're a good, good shepherd to us. And so tonight, Father, as we come and as we explore and we look into Your Word, I ask You that You would grant me words to speak, that You would grant me boldness and accuracy, that we bring words that have truth and life and light in them. Father, and our hearts are open. We just want to receive from You. We want to please You. We want to be more like You. We want to grow. We want to be a blessing to other people. Thank You. That's Your plan for us. And we want to walk in the fullness of it. We give You all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12, 1 and 2 has been our text. So I beseech you, that word beseech is kind of an old word. It simply means, I urge you therefore, brethren, which includes sistren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed or molded to this world. He's talking about a system without God, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Last week, we talked about the fact that there is a process of putting off the old man and putting on the new. That when you become in Christ, when you have a relationship with Him, and you come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Bible said we're a new creation in Christ, but sometimes it takes a little while for that new creation to show up. That's why we have to be merciful. People come in, they come in all states of spiritual maturity. We cannot expect everyone to understand. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a long period of time. You know His Word. You've gotten stronger. If you have, you really ought to be a lot more merciful, and that you can help and appreciate those who've just come in, because we're coming in from all different walks, all different backgrounds, and so there's the old man, and we're learning to put off the old man and begin to renew our mind and put on the new man. That renewing the mind is the middle process. How many of you, if you're very honest and you've known the Lord more than a few years, can say that your life is very different now than it was a few years ago? And so, but it was a process. I realized, you know, for some people, there's an immediate change, but growth is continual, and growth is something that is a process. So we talked about the process last week, and we talked about the fact that you can act differently because we actually are different. Now, I want to talk about that transformational process. It actually, you see it in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a Psalms that is, it's a great Psalm. It's in Psalms 1. And let's read this. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we're getting an understanding here. A renewal, a renovation is the process, replacing old beliefs, old thoughts, old attitudes with new. And you see it right here. It says blessed. Now, don't lose sight of that. Blessed. Who is the blessed? It says, blessed is the individual who does not walk. And he gives three groups. He said, don't walk like these three groups. He said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly just simply means people think, well, you know, that's a heart of a wicked. No, anyone without God. You can get ungodly counsel from very nice people. It's got no God in it. And they try to advise you. I did a business deal when we first got the church started. And a man that I was doing the transaction with him, had a real estate agent, had not entered into contract with a real estate agent. And when we found this building, although I had given a verbal to the real estate agent, when we found the building, the man at the time that found him was not a believer. He was a tough guy. He's a tough businessman. And we agreed to do a rental agreement, and that was actually the roller rink over here. We agreed to rent the roller rink. That was, for those of you who don't know, that was the humble beginnings of the ARC. We went from a Montessori school to a roller rink, and it was really cool. In fact, when we came in, when we got it, it had been a Tejano bar. And who was that young lady that was so popular? Yeah, she had actually performed there. And until one Easter, she had the biggest crowd ever. Then on Easter, we beat her out. But it was a Tejano bar. He was a tough businessman. He really was. And so when our real estate agent that I'd given a verbal to found out that I was doing this deal, she called up and asked for her commission. And I was not happy because she didn't find it. One of the church members found it. She was never involved in it, but she said, hey, because I'm your real estate agent, commission. I don't understand everything about real estate. Evidently, that's the case. So if I'm griping about something, that it was my tough luck. But I talked to this businessman, and he didn't want to do it. In fact, he got mad at me. He said, don't you dare pay her. Don't you pay her. He was cussing mad. Hey, by the way, a couple years later, he got saved. And that same roller rink that he rented to us. Became one of the greatest, man, you talk about a supporter, he became a great supporter. But he was still a tough old guy. And he told me, he said, don't you pay her, don't you pay her. And man, I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to pay her. And I remember I called Mark Verrett. Mark is the architect. Mark's a charter member here, board member. He's the guy that designed the ARC. And I called Mark up and I said, Mark, here's the situation. I never forget Mark. Mark said, well, Alan, did you pray about it? Well, you know what she did? You know, this is not right. The answer was no, I hadn't prayed about it. I'd gotten counsel. It wasn't godly counsel. Don't pay. Don't do it. Just lock your heels in. And so I never forget, I was coming up 45. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And immediately, way too fast. The scripture came up, turning the other cheek. I knew what that meant. We didn't, listen, as a church, by the way, the amount was $5,000. And we didn't have it as a church. We didn't have it. And I called the agent up. I said, listen, I will pay you. I said, I'll pay you the whole amount. I said, I can only give you $2,500 now. I said, and I'll give you $2,500 in 6 months. And we paid it off. Now, what's interesting is Conroe's grown a lot since then. But Conroe's still kind of a little small town. And everyone that this real estate agent came in contact with, she told how reputable we were and how good we were. And immediately I realized it cost us $5,000. But it gained us a good reputation in the community. Her daughter wound up coming for a while. So what I'm saying is, if I'd listened to that counsel, even though he meant right, not all counsel is good. You get counsel from people and they'll look at you. You know, if your marriage is in trouble, may I suggest you do not talk to people who've been through about 4 or 5. I don't mean that unkindly, but you know what their mentality is. Bail out. Get out. And so you have to be careful about where the counsel you get. Counsel of the ungodly stands in the path of sinners. Listen, Well, does that mean, Alan, we leave sinners alone? We can't never be around sinners? No, we just don't want to walk down their paths. That's why if you've recently come to the Lord, I want to encourage you to come to church. Not only come to church, get involved here because you need some Christian friends. You need some Christian friends. If all your friends are still your party friends or your rowdy friends, you need to influence them and you need some Christian friends. So how do you know that, Alan? Because when I made Jesus my Lord, went back to school, all my friends were fraternity brothers. None of them were believers. And it gradually drew me in. I stood in the path of sinners. Man, they were partying hard. And I came back and I'm trying to live for the Lord. And they're like, they got the bong out. They've got the, man, I walked in at 4 o'clock in the morning. They all woke up and had a party. We had that, man, you got to take bong hits. I didn't want to take bong hits. I knew the Lord, but they put it in front of me and here I take a bong hit. So I go to class high. And I understand how that is. I got a real heart for people who backslide because I know how it is. But I can tell you something. This is why you need believers. I needed somebody not to meet me with a bong hit, but somebody to meet me with the Bible. Say, hey, there's a good scripture here. Let's go. So say, well, Alan, you down on sinners? No, I'm not down on sinners. I was one. And I was a good one, too. I mean, but the idea is, man, I found a better way. I tell you, my grades were better when I wasn't high. I learned that. That's calculus and marijuana do not mix whatsoever. Here's the third one, the scornful. Now, this is something scornful. It says don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm honest, guys. Our American media and entertainment society is extremely scornful about God. And you hear just a lot of, it's scornful means to speak with utter derision, to mock, to show contempt. And I've seen people mock the Lord and talk about, if I'm watching it on TV, I can flick up a channel. I'm not going to watch it. You just don't, why? You don't want that around you all the time. That's not going to help you. It's not going to bless you. And it says this, he said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That word delight, and we might say delight is in God's word. That delight is a desire. It's to incline towards something. So he said, delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, this is something good. This will help you. Don't ever say, I have to read my Bible. Just say, praise God, I get to read my Bible. Here's an even better thing. Say, I love to read my Bible. That's right. I love to read my Bible. It blesses me. It helps me. And so when it says he delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So let's talk a little bit about meditating day and night. That word meditate, now I realize meditate has an Eastern concept to it. And when we say meditate now, the big word now is mindfulness. Yeah. Anybody ever had, maybe your company offer any seminars on mindfulness? They're offering them. Corporate America. Corporate America is looking for a way that stressed out people can have peace. Everyone's looking for peace. I don't fault them for that. But I'm just saying, as a Christian, the idea of mindfulness is you empty your mind. But I don't see where the scriptures ever tell us to empty our mind. The scriptures tell us to fill our mind. And you just want to fill with the right things. And to meditate, actually, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means to mutter and to talk to yourself out loud. Where you actually take a scripture and you begin to go over it. And you say, well, Alan, that's weird. No, it's not weird. It's just different. And it's different because we haven't done it. Very few people were raised in a home where they were taught to meditate Scripture. And so we're taught to read Scripture. We're taught to, man, we sing Scripture. But meditating Scripture is a powerful way. And what it begins to do is it really begins to build God's Word on the inside of you. So, Alan, I'm just trying to work my way through Project 345. I'm just trying to read a chapter a day. That's okay. That's all right. Because to meditate, you actually don't have to be sitting there near a Bible. You can meditate when you drive down the street. You can meditate on your way to work. You can say, that would be weird, wouldn't I? I'd be talking to myself. Well, we talked about the fact that scientists have already figured out that if you talk out loud, They took 20 people, but they put them in a grocery store. They told one group, I want you to find this item, but don't say a word. They told the other group, speak out loud. And the group that spoke out loud found the item much faster. Something about speaking. Listen, God made us. We're made in His image, right? He speaks, and so speaking and thinking, it gets it in us. And so the thoughts become concrete. A few years ago, the word positive affirmations went around, and all the New Age people jumped on positive affirmations, and all the Bible people said, ooh, no, no good. And what Bible people should have said was, hey, I've got some positive affirmations for you, and they're not based on they're based on truth. They're based on God's word, not some fuzzy guru. They're based on truth, and they can change your life. And so when you begin to meditate, you're taking God's word and you're beginning to put it inside you. You say, well, I've never done that before. Yes, you actually have. You ever lost your keys? Did you ever do this? Where did I put you, keys? I know you are here somewhere. Where are you? You are, where did I put those keys? I walked in the room, I sat down, I petted the dog. Are they near the dog? Near the dog? No, they're not. Anybody ever done that? And you have talked to yourself out loud. And your spouse goes, who are you talking to? You're like, don't worry about it. I'm just trying to find my keys. So the idea is you're talking. What are you doing? You're crystallizing thoughts. And the scripture is saying you can take God's word and you can take a scripture and you can begin to meditate. Have you ever had a day where your thoughts just seem to go crazy? That's another rhetorical question. Yes, all of us have had that type of day. I have found that if I would sit down with scriptures, and a lot of times I'll read my Project 345 out loud, or if I'll sit down, I've got a group of scriptures that I read. I begin to read through them and go through them and begin to speak them, and it helps bring my mind. God's word's powerful. He said, and if you'll not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but if you'll delight in God's word and you'll begin to meditate in, speak it to yourself. Joy has had our staff on one scripture for over a year. I would trust in the Lord with all my heart. And she has them going over. She said, here's what happened. She said, Alan, she said, during our staff prayer, I have them meditate and repeat that scripture. Some of them are looking at her like she's crazy. Why are you having us repeat it? Because your head says, I got it. I got it. I don't need to repeat it. I got it. No, we may have it here, but we don't quite have it yet in our heart. Because when it gets in your heart, man, it'll just go, whoa, and it'll roll out of you. See, here's what's happened. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. She said, numerous staff have had challenges during the course of the year. One staff member's husband lost a job, a good job. And she said, and the first thing that rose up in her was, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Not fear, not panic. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Another staff member got a report they might be looking for cancer. First thing that rose up in him was, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. What's the key? Listen, as you're meditating scriptures, you're getting God's word in you. But there's another benefit. You're beginning to replace thoughts that are wrong. Now here's our challenge, guys. I tell people, most of us were raised in the dark. We were raised with fear or worry or just, and it gets worse from there. I won't ask for a show of hands, but a lot of times people have grown up maybe in abusive situations, and they've seen that, and it's been very difficult. Don't act like that didn't impact you. Maybe you were the victim of abuse, and you're thinking, I can never be whole. I can never be normal again. Even that thought is wrong. He can restore your soul, and He can make you better than you ever were before. He can help you. He mends broken hearts, but we have to give Him something to work with. Joy will tell you this, is that when I met Joy, she had horrible panic attacks. Horrible. And she would just, I never forget, we were dating, and she just had this panic attack. And I didn't realize how bad it was. And for years, she had fears that just absolutely plagued her. You say, well, how does she get out of that? Did God just go, oh, she's such a sweet girl. I'm just going to relieve her of that. No, she actually began to take scriptures. As she began to meditate those scriptures and she began to speak those scriptures. I can tell you something about my wife now. She doesn't have near the fear level. Does she still deal with fear? All of us do. But is it at the same level? No, it's way, way down. And it's not because she's a pastor's wife. And it's not because she's so sweet. It's because she put God's word in her heart. And it began to replace the fear that was there. See, a lot of us have grown up. We've grown up with fear. We've grown up with worry. Anybody grow up in a home where people worried a lot? If you did, chances are you're a worrier. Some families, it's like a family legacy. Mama worried, grandma worried, her grandma worried. We just come from a long line of worriers. And everyone goes, ha, ha, ha. And it's eating you up on the inside. And yet that's not what the scripture says. We don't have to worry. We don't have to live in fear. I went through a period of time where I had panic attacks. I never had panic attacks, but in college, I started having panic attacks. And when I started my new job, when I came back to Texas, started my new job with admin staff in 1990, I'm going on sales calls and I'm having panic attacks in sales calls. Some people's panic attacks, they just kind of get freaked out. I sweat profusely. And if you got a sales rep sitting in front of you sweating profusely, something about that says, maybe this guy's not telling me the truth. I mean, I'm sweating like this. And I'm sweating, and I'm sweating, and I'm praying, God, I need help. God, I can't do this. And you got all kinds of visions of losing your job, not your kids not being okay. You know how you can have a fearful thought, and it can just go wild on you. And I'm sitting in a lobby, and I'm getting ready to go talk to someone, and I feel it coming on me. This is why I say, wow, Alan, you were really jacked up. Welcome. I'm sitting there. I felt it coming on me. But then something rose up on the inside of me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, and thank God for God's word. And it said, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I'm sitting there, and that word came up in me, and I realized, hey, wait a minute. I don't have to beg. I don't have to plead. The Lord has already set me free from panic attacks. I am free from these things, and I've never had another one since. God's word came up. But you've got to put it in for it to come up. You have to begin to put it in to replace. So here's the good news. What's been bothering you? What's plaguing you? I challenged my staff this year. I said, I want you to come up with five scriptures in the area that maybe you want improvement in or area you want to see help in. I want you to memorize those scriptures. I want you to meditate those scriptures. Why? Because I know it's going to produce some things. Remember, blessed is the person that doesn't walk in all this wrong stuff, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And because we love God's word, we meditate on it. We think about it. I read something recently about the actor Anthony Hopkins. Anybody ever heard of him? I think he's the guy that did what? Tell me. Thank you. Yeah. I did not see that movie because it scared me. And so, but I remember, I've seen him before. He's really a good actor. I mean, he's not a Hallmark actor. He's a good actor. He is a really good actor. And I recently read where Anthony Hopkins, when they give him a script, he reads it anywhere between 100 to 200 times, a script. His lines, everyone else, he said he's got everyone's lines memorized. He's learned it. He writes in it. He visualizes it. Why? So that when he stands up, he's able to actually embody that character. And he becomes that character. He's got those lines written down. Now, the guy who wrote the story said, if Anthony Hopkins can read a script 100 times, why can't we read a scripture 100 times or a book 100 times or a chapter 100 times? Why? And then we begin to get it in us, and then we begin to see through the lens of that. Does that make sense? So really, guys, here's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking, this is not Christianity 101. This is 102. This is taking a step up. And I realize some people are struggling with reading their Bible and reading their Bible. If we realized how powerful God's word is, we would read it because we realize it can fix the problems that we have in our life. Amen. People deal with brokenheartedness. Some of you are just have so much trouble with your emotions, and you're thinking, God, is there ever a way? God, are you ever going to do something? God, are you ever going to fix me? God, am I always going to be that way? And I got a word for you tonight. Yeah, no, you don't always have to be that way. It can change, but you need to replace some of those thoughts and beliefs that have been entrenched in your life, and you need to dig a new trench. What happens is we have thoughts and patterns that we've had, and we go over them and over them and over them and over them. Some of you have gone over and over and over. I just can't do this. I'm just too weak. I'm just not good enough. And you've gone over negative, negative, negative thoughts. You ever notice how many of those thoughts are negative? So why can't we take on purpose, take God's word and take something positive that says if whoever is born of God, here's a great one for you. 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You could take that one scripture, and you could begin to take that scripture, and you begin to say, I am born of God. Thank God I am a world overcomer. Any of the fear, the negativism, the junk that's in the world, I overcome that, and this is the victory that overcomes that, my faith. Thank you, Lord, I have faith in you, and I believe I'm born of you. I am a world overcomer. Lord, I just thank you for that. I'm an overcomer. I overcome the fear. I overcome the pornography. I overcome the addictions. I overcome the worry. I overcome the junk. Whatever the world's got, I can overcome it. And you can take that scripture and you can read it. You can just meditate it on your way. You're driving down the road going, I'm a world overcomer. I am born of God. I overcome. What are you doing? You're beginning to replace. You say, Alan, that's weird. That's not weird. It's powerful. And it changed. Yeah, it's weird because we've never done it. But if someone told you, hey, listen, golfers, those of you who play golf, you've never swung a golf club before. But somebody put a stick in your hand and say, okay, here's what you got to do. You got to hold it. You gotta hit, and you hit the little white ball and it goes a long way. You want to hit that little white ball. You want to play the game. So you work on this unnatural swing for the rest of your life. You see golfers by themselves doing this stuff all the time. Why? Working on that swing. Why? Because I can get my swing down. If I can get my swing down, I can hit the golf ball. You can tell I don't golf at all. I don't. You know why? I don't delight in it. I don't have time for it. For you golfers, you love it. That's a great game. It's wonderful. It's too slow for me. but here's what I'm saying. You will learn something different. You will learn something that feels awkward at first because you believe the end result is going to be good. Right? You believe the end result is going to be good. Some of you, anybody exercise people, workout people, you like that? How many of you know when you first went to the gym, started working out, you couldn't do hardly anything? But you put yourself in some awkward positions. Those of you who do Pilates and all that stuff, I sure don't do that either. But those of you who do that, you got your body all contorted and you're holding it and doing all these things. Why? Because you believe the end result's gonna be good. Why would you go exercise? Because you believe the end result is gonna be good, right? Unless you're just a sadist and you like to punish yourself, you believe it's gonna be good. So here's what I'm saying is, why can't we take God's word and meditate it? And it may be different, it may be a little awkward, but if we begin to do it, we put God's word in us because we believe the end results will be good. Because here's what it said in that Psalms. It said, if you meditate day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's a good enough reason for me. I'm going to be like a tree. I'm not talking about a shriveled up tree. I'm talking about a tree planted by water. That means I've always got a constant source of flow. I bear fruit. I am fruitful and productive. And man, I tell you, I'm green and flourishing all year round. And everything I do will prosper. That's a reason enough to try the awkwardness. Don't take 5. Don't take 20. Take one scripture. Maybe it's on fear. Maybe it's on overcoming. Maybe it's on being a new creation. Maybe it's on you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And take that scripture and write it out and memorize it and meditate it. It'll be different, but it'll help you. It'll bless you. We'll talk more about this next week. To be continued. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you have not left us alone. You have not left us on our own. But you are a gracious God and a wonderful shepherd. And you've given us tools to absolutely do wondrous things in our life. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for how you work in us to will and do of your good pleasure, and you never stop. And we're so grateful for that. Lord, I thank you for everyone here, everyone who came tonight, everyone who listened so intently, everyone, Father, you have such hope for them and such belief in them, and it's really, really great. And we thank you for it.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.